the happiest evangelist you know. I love what I do. But, you know, one of the things that comes with that is, you know, on the weekends, we're in a lot of hotels. We were in Mount Vernon, Texas last weekend. And next weekend, we'll be in Mathis, Texas. And just got a lot of churches to get to this year. And anyway, it's nice to have this these visitors right here on the fourth row. Come on, y'all, welcome your pastors back. Amen. I've been all over the world, and so I'm telling you, it's a miracle they're here right now. I know what they're feeling. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And so they're here. And so just, were y'all praying for them while they're gone?
Oh, yes.
Turn to them and say this. Say, Pastor, we want y'all to go even more. Yeah, you do. Because I'm telling you, they came back with a richer anointing on their life. They did, you know, I'm sure you know, but they just got back from Israel. And, you know, when a pastor goes, they grow.
Yes.
And when they grow, you grow.
Amen.
And so always, man, encourage your pastors to go to the world. Because there hasn't been a nation that I've gone to that I haven't came back with a richer anointing on my life. Why? Because you're getting out of your comfort zone. And you go to the world and you see the kingdom from a different perspective. Because I guarantee you, I've been to Israel, I've preached in Israel, I've stood at the Wailing Wall, and I know they came back with even more of a passion that they want this church built on a relationship with Jesus, not religion. Because they were in the most religious country, city in the world. And we're not here for religion. We're here for relationship.
Amen.
And so, anyway, I'm just welcome them back home. I'm glad to have some people here with me this morning. You know, when we lived close, my family was able to come over today. And so y'all wave at them, Laura, and then McKinley, my youngest, and then Madison and Keegan. And so give them a hand clap. I'm glad they're here. Glad they're here. It's kind of cool. It's my own bed. My family's sitting on the front row. I'm kind of getting a little... my head's clenched a little bit. A few things before we get into the Word. First thing is I want to always like to begin with the end in mind. And so there's something I want to go ahead and prepare you for at the end of the service. You know, I've been in a lot of churches, and, you know, you go preach in churches that have just been built. And a lot of times what a church will do, I've seen them do it so many times, they'll take a Bible, and they'll, when they're laying the foundation, and they'll put a Bible in the concrete. You know, so when you, right, you know, right where the door is, so when people walk through the front door, isn't that cool? When the people walk through the front door of a church, what are they walking across? They're walking across the Word of God. And it's and that Bible, it's just a symbolic thing. That the Word of God is in the foundation, literally, figuratively, symbolically, of that church. Come on, y'all like that? Well, there's a word that God's put on my heart. And I want us at the end of the service, I want us to put that word into the concrete of this church. I want to put this word into the foundation of this church. Now, you know, we're not going to rip the carpet up and dig into... It's not about a building. It's about the foundation of this church. And I want us to just, as much as a Bible is in the concrete of that foundation, man, I want to put this word into the foundation of this church. Can we do that?
Amen.
I'll tell you what that word is here in just a moment. The second thing is, you know, ever since I walked in here and I walked in this morning and I just shared that with you, I just, you know, just the presence of angels in this place. And you know, the more I'm in ministry and the more churches we're in and the years that go by, we've been doing this now for 15 years, traveling the world, and the more and more I'm understanding how angels play a part in the kingdom and in the services. You know, Jesus, he had angels ascending and descending upon his ministry. You know, he told the disciples, he said, boys, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. He said, "You just wait. If you think this is something, you wait. You're gonna see angels, and you're gonna see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know, when you go read the book of Acts, you see so much angelic activity in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, they were there. They were the ones that got Peter out of prison. So much angelic activity. But then over the years, I've seen how angels play a part in healing. You know, in John, the 5th chapter at the pool of Bethesda, what do we have? We have all these people waiting at the pool. What for the stirring of the waters, because at a certain season an angel would come and stir the waters, and what would happen? And the first person who would get down into the water would be healed. They play more of a part in healing than we really know. You know, I'm a historian. I love to study great men and women of God who's been used in the supernatural. And I can take you all the way back to Alexander Dowie and just walk you through the 100 years. And just all the great men and women of God, from your John G. Lakes and your Smith Wigglesworth and your Azusa Revival and Stanley, and then get over into the Voice of Healing era. And I can tell you that many of those people, there's a common vision that a lot of those people that operated in signs and wonders have had. It's a common vision of being called up into heaven and being taken by Jesus or an angel into a room where there were all of these cabinets. And I've heard this vision come from different ministers, these cabinets, and inside these cabinets were different body parts and miracles and joints and new backs and new hearts and new lungs, new knees, new shoulders, new vertebrae, a new pancreas. And how angels would just bring those signs, wonders, and miracles. Bring those body parts where the glory is. Come on, where people believe. Amen? Amen. It's a common vision. And I just believe there's angels here this morning.
Amen.
Man, I believe if we could open up our spiritual eyes and we could see, man, we would just be, I believe they're everywhere. Matter of fact, I believe as we're speaking, they're just kind of sliding up next to you right where you are. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, we're not supposed to pray to angels. We're not supposed to worship angels. But we just always make them welcome, because the more of them are here, the greater the miracles you're going to see.
Hallelujah.
I remember one time I was preaching in Las Cruces, New Mexico, Pastor Jeff. And that weekend, I had been studying on angels and just reading some different things, and I was just really aware of angels in that service. And I remember I got through preaching. I don't tell this story often. I bet I had told it a handful of times and over all these years. But I got through preaching, and I turned the service over to Pastor Jeff, and I remember maybe a few more people that was here, a few more people than today, but not many. And I was walking around the back. And I was coming around, and Pastor Jeff was talking. And I got about right back there. And all of a sudden, I stepped into this fragrance. Never forget it for the rest of my life. I mean, I'd never smelled anything like it before. It was so strong. And I remember it just kind of overwhelmed me. And I started thinking, you know, am I standing near a Febreze plug? You know, no, just being honest with you. You know, and so I'm looking around, you know, did I walk past a vase of flowers? You know, there's no Febreze. But then, and so I'm just kind of stunned, but I look up, and then I realize that Pastor Jeff had quit talking. And I look over at Pastor Jeff, and he was just as stunned as I was. And I looked in his eyes, he looked in mine, and then we realized the people weren't moving. And a fragrance had just hit that place. And no one would move, and no one would say anything. Because you just knew you were right in the middle of something. It's a sign and a wonder. You know what a sign and a wonder is? It's a sign that makes you wonder. Now, that's never happened again. But I'm telling you, somehow I know those angels opened up that realm. Believe in God for more of that in the days ahead.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, believe. We don't want religion.
No.
We don't want religion. There's enough religion in the world. You can't go anywhere in the world where you can't find religion.
That's
man, I don't want religion. Man, I want to see the book of Acts alive and well in our services. I want to see the glory. I want to see revival. I want to see an awakening. I want to see the word of God preached with signs, miracles, and wonders. How about you?
Amen.
There's angels here.
Yes.
There's angels here. And so, you know, as we've been sitting here talking about it, they're just showing up more and more every second that goes by. Come on, they're just more and more coming. More and more coming. Well, if they're here, then when they show up in a service, they begin to stir the waters. You say, what do you mean? Well, just like in the John 5, as they would, when they show up, they begin to stir the waters. But there's no pool here, but there is a pool.
Yes.
They're stirring the waters.
Yes.
But it's not the first person who gets in. It's anybody that gets in.
Amen.
And so, how many of you here this morning, you have some kind of pain, soreness, stiffness in your body? You got something going on in your body you don't like? You got something that used to work but doesn't? Doesn't work the way it used to. You're some kind of pain, some kind of soreness, some kind of stiffness. You're in some kind of discomfort this morning. Put your hands. Man, there's a lot of hands. Y'all just stand up right where you are. But don't come up here. Just stand up right where you are. Now, first of all, nudge your neighbor and say, will you please forget you're at church? Go ahead and say, quit acting like you're at church. Quit acting like you're in church. Turn to somebody and say, relax. Lord, I've been in church my whole life, so I've pretty much been bored most of my life. Yeah, it shouldn't be that way. Right?
Yeah.
Where are you hurting?
This comes right around my neck.
Right around your neck. What about you, sweetie?
And right in here.
Right in? You say, oh my gosh, he's talking to people in the audience. Is the church police going to come get me? Am I in trouble? Philip, you know, if you keep doing that, you're not going to get a good grade for the circuit. Are we getting graded for this?
No.
Where are you hurting? Right there. You said, Brother, why are you asking? Because I care.
Praise God.
I care. Where are you hurting?
Back in your hip.
Your back and your hip. Hey, what about you, sweetie? All over. What about you? Your back. What about you, sir? Your right knee. How long has it been hurting? Been a long time?
2 months.
A couple of months? 2 months is too long. It's 2 months too long, isn't it? What about you, sweetie? Your shoulders?
Yeah.
Your knee and your hip?
Back.
And your back. Boy, I know about back pain, sweetie. What about you?
Neck.
Your neck?
What about you?
Neck and back. So, when's you going to start preaching? I ain't preaching.
Amen.
What about you? Your back?
I'm looking for talk.
Amen.
You know, I know sometimes you can't, you know, be careful. What about you, Bill?
Your ear.
Your ear?
Arms.
Arms?
I'm not here to do just something else.
Amen. That's good.
Lower back.
Your lower back, too? Yeah. How long has your lower back been bothering you?
About
3 months
too long.
3 months too long. I like that.
Lower back, stiff neck.
Yeah, lower back, stiff neck. Man. Why can't we just get everybody healed this morning?
Amen. I'm saving me.
What if just everyone, not the first person who gets down into the water,
amen,
but everybody that gets into the water.
Amen. That's right.
You walk out of here today pain free.
Hallelujah.
No soreness, no stiffness. You have a killer nap this afternoon. No more ibuprofen, Tylenol, Advil, Aleve. And all that money you've been spending it for the doctors, come on, you put that into missions. Be all right, we all? Who would you rather get that money? Missions or doctors and hospitals and prescriptions? Let's get everybody healed this morning. You think there's enough angels in here to get the job done?
Absolutely.
We know the Father's here, right?
That's right.
Well, just a few things we want to get set. Number one is, y'all realize no one in here deserves to be healed. So if you're sitting here thinking, Brother Philip, I really don't deserve to be healed. Well, I absolutely agree with you. You don't. What we deserve is to all go to hell. But God's
grace.
Amazing
grace.
You know what grace is? Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
That's right.
So everybody just say, Father, thank you for grace.
Thank you for grace.
I tell you what we're not going to do is we're not going to ask God to heal any of us.
That's right.
Why would I ask God to do something he's already done?
Amen.
All we're going to do is reach out with our faith and receive what he's already done for us through Calvary.
Amen.
That's right. Amen?
That's right.
We're going to reach out and receive healing just like we all reached out and received salvation.
That's right.
Months ago, years ago, decades ago. Come on, somebody say easy.
Easy.
It's not complicated. It's easy. It's just reaching out and receiving.
Take it.
And when it happens like flash paper. I love to watch videos of flash paper. Because no matter how big a piece of flash paper is, when fire hits it, what does it do? It's gone. It can be the size of a bed sheet, or it can be the size of a little piece of cloth. When fire hits it, it's gone. I believe that's what God's going to do.
Hallelujah.
For you this morning. It's gone. Now, said we're just following the Holy Ghost here. I'm taking you someplace. So where are you taking us? A place where you can reach out and receive your healing.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Where you walk out of here,
yes,
pain free.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And no one's going to touch you.
Thank you.
I'm not going to call you up to the front. It's going to happen right where you are.
Amen.
But you just got to stay with me for a minute. Got to stay with me for a minute. There's a word, say this word, immediately. That's an important word. Religion doesn't do anything immediately. But when you read the book of Acts, you read the Gospels, you see immediately a lot. Because the more immediately you do something, the more you believe what you believe. Because you act upon it slowly, or you act upon it immediately. So let me tell you my story. Every time I tell this story, people get healed, and it fits into where we're going. I've told this story here. Next time I come, I'll tell it again. I'll be 90 years old, I'll tell it again.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest gifts God's ever given me, was this story, because it helps people reach out and receive,
yes,
their healing. It's going to help you reach out and receive your healing. There was a lady, and I bet these guys can tell this story now better than I can. There was a lady, she was sitting right back here, and every church has right over here. It wasn't this church, she was sitting right over here. And her daughter came up to me and said, "Will you come minister my mom? Her knee's messed up." So I'll go back there after the service is over. And it's a real sweet lady. She had turned her chair around and she had her leg up in the chair. And her knee, whose knees were messed up? Where's my knee, people? Knees? Uh-huh. All right. See, yeah, y'all fix to get healed whether you want to or not. And so I'm praying for this lady. And when I get, as I'm praying, the Lord spoke to me and told me to watch her. And so I didn't know what I was watching for, but he told me to watch her. And so when I got through praying, I'm watching her, and then I saw what God wanted me to see. When I got through praying, she said, "Oh, Brother Phil, thank you so much for praying for me." But she never moved her knee. So why didn't she move her knee? Well, she didn't believe she was healed. Because if she would have believed she was healed, what would she have done? She'd have moved her knee. She would have checked her knee out.
Right.
See, she didn't want to be healed. She just wanted me to pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted some attention. She wanted some sympathy. I'm not here to give you any sympathy or any attention.
God.
I want you healed.
Amen.
But in order to be healed, you're going to have to do what that woman didn't do. If you got a bad shoulder, what will you have to do?
Amen.
If you got a bad neck, what will you have to do?
Amen.
If you got a bad back, what? Each one of you are going to have to do something different to find out your
healed.
Or just how healed you
are.
Now just close your eyes right where you are. Be real still. I'm telling you, angels are in this place. And Father, you know, I've had this conversation with you before. Before my time here is done, I'd like to smell that fragrance one more time. If it's here, fine. If it's somewhere else, fine. Just at least one more time, I'd like to smell that fragrance. But Father, whether I smell anything or not, see anything or not, touch anything or not, Father, I know your angels are here. And Father, I thank you there's healing here. But Father, not only is there healing here, there's miracles here. Father, I thank you there's certain things that you're going to heal, and there's other things you're going to replace. And Father, I thank you those angels have some new vertebrae with them. They've got some new shoulders. They've got some new knees. Father, they've got some new stuff. There's healing, but there's some new stuff. Father, thank you for the angels that are here this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit moving in this place. And thank you, everything is being done in the precious, wonderful, holy, incredible name of Jesus. There's a scripture, it's Acts 9:34. And that scripture says this. Peter looked at a man and he said, Jesus Christ maketh you whole. And then he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And it says, and that man immediately. So this is what we're about to do. I'm fixing to declare that word over you. And when I do, I want you to sit down. And when I sit down, a work is going to begin in your body. I don't want you to pray. I just want you to sit there and know how much Jesus loves you. How he wants you healed, or you want to be healed. Do y'all know Jesus loves you? Do you know he's not mad at you? Do you know he's not wanting you to cut a deal with him? And, well, Jesus, if you'll heal me, I'll do this and I'll do... Don't do that. He doesn't heal people because he wants something from you. He heals you because he loves you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to declare the scripture, and as soon as I do, I want you to sit down and just be real still. And I'm telling you, angels are going to do what angels do. Y'all ready? Jesus Christ maketh you whole. Sit down. Just close your eyes. One. Two. I'm telling you, angels are working. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. It's done. Now listen. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to stand back up and do what that woman didn't do. I want you to check your body out from head to toe. God's not doing anything. It's done. Flash paper. Done. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to stand up and check your body. Look for the difference. Pain gone, soreness gone, stiffness is gone. What you couldn't do, now you can. Because you're not sitting in a chair right now. You're sitting in that water. I said you're sitting in that water. And now it's time to stand up out of that water and do what that woman didn't do. Are you ready? Remember the word immediately. Stand up and immediately begin to check your body. You ready? And give Jesus all the praise and glory and the honor. Because he's the healer. One, two, three. Get up immediately and check your body. Bend over. Check your arms, your shoulders, your elbows, your hands. Just keep moving around. Check anything out. Move your neck around. Move your jaw. Check your ear, your eyes. Breathe. Check your sinuses. Breathe in through your nose and out your mouth. Check out your lungs. Check out your hands and your feet and your knees. And you know that. You know when you would move, you'd hear that clicking and popping. See if you can. Come on, get see if that clicking and popping is gone. Can somebody lift up the name of Jesus while you're doing what that woman didn't do? Just keep moving. So when are you gonna start preaching? I am preaching. Come on, keep moving around a little bit.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, but the church police are going to come get us. There's no church police. Just keep moving a little bit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Now watch this. Everybody look up here. If the pain's gone, the soreness is gone, the stiffness is gone, what you couldn't do, there's a difference in your body. Lift your hands. Ooh, come on. Look. Come on. What happened, sir? I'm just going to talk to a few of you. What happened? Talk to me. What? Gone?
Good, I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good.
Can't say it any easier than that. What about you, sweetie?
Amen. I can lift all the way up.
You lift all the way up. All right. All right. Come on, let me hear a few more from you. Somebody talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Yeah, what?
I couldn't sit down without kind of going through some courses.
Yeah.
Come
on. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, who else? Come on, somebody talk to me. Yeah, what? What's different?
It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt?
Praise the Lord.
Now, how long has it been hurting? Couple of months. Not hurting anymore.
No,
ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Who else? I want to hear from somebody.
How's your neck?
It's getting better.
Getting better. Just keep moving it. Keep praising God. What's different?
I don't feel that pinching pain anymore.
That pinching pain in your back's gone. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Now, you think it'd be appropriate to say thank you to those angels that are here?
Yes.
Is there anyone we should never not appreciate? Come on, Hebrews 1:13 says they're ministering spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation?
Amen.
Were they here ministering to us?
Yes, amen.
Then they deserve a thank you, right?
Yes.
So just, you know, look somewhere, because probably wherever you look, you would see one, and just say, thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Y'all can be seated.
Thank you.
God's good. God's good. Hallelujah. Man, God's good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So you do that everywhere you go? No. We minister in healing different ways. It's just about listening to the Holy. Sometimes you lay hands on people. Sometimes it's up at the altar. Sometimes it's one-on-one. You just, oh, did Jesus minister healing always in the same way? I mean, do you think everywhere he went, he spit in people's eyes? Did he have a spitting ministry? No. As far as we know, he only did that one time. But what he did do every time is he was led by the Holy. And if we want to see miracle signs and wonders, we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, real quick, after the service is over, Madison or McKinley, they're going to be back at the table. We got a lot of material back there that'll bless you. And we just put out a new book, and something we're really excited about, and it's called The Move, From the Shallows into the Deep. And once, as you can probably see, I don't care much for religion. Nothing about it appeals to me. And the call of our ministry is to get people out of puddles into rivers. Get people out of shallow into the deep. To move people. And everywhere we go, I just want to move people. And so, you know, on the back, there's 222 of these moves in the book, along with a lot of stories and revelation, but there's two sets of three words. In the shallow, your life's going to be defined by emotions, circumstances, and storms. How many of you know people, those three words define their life? But in the river, in the deep, life is defined by revelation, power, and purpose. Come on, which one you want? So that book is over there. And, well, Colton, pick a number between 1 and 100. Do me a favor. Come on, pick one. Any of them. 63. Whoop, I had it right there and I lost it. 63 is called the, here's move 63. I believe in saying a lot with a little. It's not about the quantity of words, it's the quality of words. It says in the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 14:1 states, make the love of God your great quest. I love the word quest. Amen. That word perfectly describes the way I feel about the Father's love. Growing in that love is the ultimate quest, the greatest challenge, and the biggest mountain you'll ever climb. That's 63. So the book's back there. It's just $15. And then there's a lot of series back there. There's 16 of them. They're all empty. They're all displays. You can't buy any of them individually. And the reason I've got so much now that we've developed over 15 years, that what we did is we just put all of it on this flash drive. And for $99, which saves you over $400, you just pop it into a computer, Mac, PC, laptop, any. A lot of your vehicles now have USB ports with your screens. And you get everything me and my wife have ever done. And when you buy this, you get the book for free. So I like getting a lot for a little. So there you go, baby. So those are back there. You can use your credit card, your debit card, however you want to do it. And so, hey, turning your Bible over to Acts, the 26th chapter. Not going to preach long. Just a few things I want to share with you. And remember what I told you. Just like those churches have put Bibles in the foundation of the church, we're fixing to put a word into the foundation of this church. Amen? You say, what is that word? It's the word vision. It's the word vision. Everybody say vision.
Vision.
I want to put that word into the... I know it's already there, but come on. I want to really put that word into the foundation of this church where it would just be impossible for anyone to ever get away from it. And if we do that, and vision is in the foundation of the church, you know what that makes you, don't you? You know what that makes your pastors, don't you? Visionaries.
Amen.
I love that word. Turn to somebody and say, you're a visionary. I like that word. You know, most people aren't. Most people, their life is not defined by their vision. Their life is defined by memories. I don't want my life defined by where I've been. I want my life defined by where I'm going.
Amen.
I don't want to live rearview mirror. I want to live front windshield. You know, there's a reason why the front windshield's big and the rearview mirror is small. If it was the opposite, how would that work out for you? You'd be always, can you imagine going through, trying to drive through Houston and you're trying to navigate Houston through that? That wouldn't work out too well. No, there's a reason the front windshield's big and the rearview mirror is small. That's a good driver. Well, if you want to have a great life, you better be a front windshield Christian, not a rearview mirror Christian. But most people aren't. As I travel through God's churches and I do things, most people, the only thing they're capable of is talking to me about their past. And their memories. And their hurts. Brother Bill, let me tell you what happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. The first thing people do is they start telling me about their memories. I run into very few people who don't even want to talk about the past. They just want to talk about where they're going. Why? Because they're not memories, they're vision. And they are visionaries. It ain't got nothing to do with how old you are or how young you are. And if a church is going to be all God's called it to be and max out its potential, vision's got to be in the concrete.
That's good.
And that church at its core has to see themselves as visionaries. But that's really not the case. You know, as you travel through churches, once again, think about it. 15 years, over 50 churches a year for 15 years. That's a lot of churches. That's a lot of stories. And I love stories. I love to hear the story of a church. You know, a lot of the congregations that I preach to, I am ministering to people that shouldn't be in the church they're in. They're not, you know, they're in a building, they're in a church, but they're really not supposed to be in that church. So, well, why? Well, because that church was built by another congregation. But see, that congregation lost that building. And then another congregation moves in. Like, for instance, there's a good chance that in y'all's future, somewhere in the Alvin area, a church building could come up for sale, right?
That's right.
Is that realistic?
Yes.
And of course, nobody, you know, there's nothing else people could do with it. So the bank, and y'all wind up walking in. I mean, it could happen. Y'all walk into it. But if that happens, that's a miracle for y'all. But it's bittersweet because where there's a story of a church coming into a building, there's also a story of a church leaving a building. So how did that happen? I'm taking you somewhere. Because y'all are at an interesting time for this church. Most churches that I preach in, when they got their nice building, it wasn't a blessing, it was a curse. Most buildings that churches build or move into, the majority of time, it's one of the worst things that ever happens to them.
And it's the beginning of the end as soon as they move in. I can tell you story after story after story after story. I can give you specific details. That building was a curse more than it was a blessing. And those pastors will tell you that the greatest season that that church has ever had was when they were building up those years before they moved in and built that new sanctuary. I was just preaching in a church in Mount Vernon, Texas, and all the facilities put together were well over $2 million. They built a church, and then they added on to a fellowship, and then they added on a 180 building on top of that. And then they came over here and they built a little playground for their kids. But they always had a dream. They had the land set aside for a brand new sanctuary. And man, they were so excited. And the church was growing. And the church kept growing. And the church kept growing. And they got the foundation and the architecture and the whole deal. And one day, and the people were excited. And the church grew to up close to about 300 people. And the day came that they built it. They built it, and it's beautiful facility. And 6 months after they built that facility, that the church began to decline. And about a year ago, it shut its doors. And the bank took over the facilities. And now a pastor friend of mine came in with a new congregation, picked up the bank note. What happened? It's what happens in most churches. It's what happens in life. Be careful when you get what you want. Because what happens a lot of time is we sit down and we go, we have arrived. And the vision stops. And there's not a next. Doesn't mean you have to build buildings the rest of your life. But there's always got to be vision. What's next? Where are we going?
Amen.
Amen? You know, I'm gonna pick on him because he's my son. Keegan, he's fixing to go off to Blend in the fall. This dude has been working so hard. So hard. He got a cheerleading scholarship. He's been working on his grades. He's working at Papacito's. He's been right, making his money, saving it, tithing machine right here. Working, grades, cheerleading. I mean, eating clean. I mean, just working out. I mean, I'm proud of him. Why? Because he's so excited. Right now, he's got a vision. He fall, Blend, cheerleading, right? He's excited. It's always more fun to go on vacation than it is to come back from vacation.
Amen.
He's excited right now. Now, I'm talking to you because I'm teaching him something. What's he going to do when he gets there? What happens to most kids when they get to college? Well, they've arrived. And their grades, and they start partying, and all the things that they did to get there, they don't do anymore. Why? Because they're there. They're not operating in vision anymore, are they? Do you understand how many churches that's destroying? Do you understand how many businesses that's destroyed? Do you understand how many families that's... We're created by God to operate out of vision.
Yes. Amen.
And whatever the future holds for you guys, this building, another building, that building, whatever, we've got to stay in vision. There was a movie a long time ago, and this young investor is talking to this older investor. And a guy played a stock market and everything. And he asked the older guy, he goes, what's your number? And he goes, what do you mean, what's my number? And he says, what's the number you need to walk away and just retire? What's your number? $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion. What's your number? And the guy goes, my number? He goes, oh, okay. He said, I get what you're saying. He said, my number is more. I'm sharing with you things I don't share. I'm out on the water right now. I don't. LaGrange, Texas, Dennis and Jan Hill, totally opposite. I've been preaching in that church now for 15 years. They started off in a bar. Dennis started off in a bar. He walked away from high school coaching and they opened up in a bar. I was preaching at church when it was a bar. Then they moved into this building, and then they got some land and they built. But over all these years, that church has just continually increased. Vision. World. Dennis spends so much time in Israel. He spends so much time in Africa. He's 67 years old, but he's got Colby and Rachel. Colby's a TBI LTC graduate. Colby married pastor's daughter, Rachel, and now they're co-pastoring. And so in about 3 years, they're going to transition from a place of strength, from Dennis to Colby. And Colby, you talk to Colby, there ain't no rearview mirror in his car. He's not interested in talking about the good old days. We're talking about where he's going. So I'm telling you, in 10, 20, 30 years, the remnant church in LaGrange, Texas, is going to continue to be thriving because they're staying in vision.
Yes. Okay.
What about you guys?
Amen.
Let me show you three things real quick. When you think of vision, I always think of what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 26, verse 19. He said, "O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Hey, at the end of your life, would y'all like to be able to say that? How about as a church? Would you like to be able to say, we were not disobedient to the heavenly vision? Would you like to say that right before you die? You'd like to look at your kids and your grandkids and say, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision? Well, you can't live memories then, can you? You got to live vision. So how did Paul get there? Let me show you three things he got right so that he could say what he said. Because if you want to say what he said, you got to get right what he got right. And most Christians are getting wrong what I'm fixing to show you he got right. Did that make sense? Did y'all catch that? Most Christians get wrong what Paul got right. And that's why at the end of their life, they're not disobedient to the heavenly vision. They die with regrets and guilt and woulda, shoulda, couldas. And they're mad and they're bitter. Y'all ever known somebody that's died that way? A bitter, old notice the first thing that came out of Paul's mouth, verse 2. He said, I think myself happy. If you're going to live vision, you got to make a decision. You're going to be happy for the rest of your life. You say, well, what do you mean a decision? It's a decision. It has nothing to do with circumstances or storms or happy. Happy is a decision. Laura and I decided years ago we'd never be any happier than we are right now. We maxed out happy years ago. How many of you are saved? Born again? On your way to heaven? What else do you need to be happy about? Amen? What else you need to be happy about? See, happiness is not based on circumstances. Happiness is based on a revelation.
That's good. That is good.
Based on a revelation. Happiness is... It's not based, once again, it's not based on circumstances or storms or all that stuff. It's not based on what's going on around you. It's what's going on in you. Once again, God's our Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It's based on revelation. Here's one of the greatest things about happiness. Happiness is your gratitude to the Father for what He's done for you through Jesus Christ. People say, well, if I do the wish, I can just tell God how much I just am so appreciated. And just what can I do? What can I do just to show God how much I appreciate Him? Well, I tell you what you can do. You can be happy.
Hallelujah.
You can be happy. You can make a choice to be happy.
Amen.
Because of what? Because you're acknowledging what He did for you through. See, most people aren't happy. They're waiting to be happy. Well, I'll tell you what, churches. Well, I'll tell you what, when we get our own building, we'll be happy. When I get a job, we'll be happy. When I have a baby, I'll be happy. When I get a new job, I'll be happy. When I get a promotion, I'll be happy. When I get married, I'll be happy. When I'm not married, I'll be happy. When I get to blend, I'll be happy. When I graduate calm, I'll be happy. When I'm a sophomore, I'll be happy. When I'm this, when I'm that, they're waiting to be happy. Do you understand that when you're waiting to be happy, you're giving the devil a bullseye of what to shoot at? Lord and I aren't waiting to be. When y'all see me next year, I won't be any happier than I am right now. It's a choice. And the only shot you've got at getting at the end of your life and being able to say, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, is you got to get happy right. As a church and as a people. Now I'm not going to read the rest because it's too much. But it's starting in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. All those scriptures. The Apostle Paul is doing something. He's sharing his testimony. If you want to be obedient to the heavenly vision, you've got to get your testimony right. Most Christians don't. Most Christians, what they have is they have a salvation testimony. Everything else is just their story. Your story and your testimony are not the same thing. People get saved. Who knows when you got saved? Who could tell me the story when you got saved? How old you were, where you were, why you were. I was 7 years old, Calvary Baptist Church, Cullen, Louisiana. Pastor Davis, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember walking down the aisle all by myself. I remember. That's my salvation testimony. Most Christians, that's all they got. And from that point, they do what they want to do, how they want to do it, where they want to do it, who they want to do it with. See, your testimony isn't just what God brought you out of, it's what God brought you into. I wrote three. Let me get this thing. Let me show you this. Here's when you know your testimony is a testimony, not just a story. Y'all ready? Your story becomes a testimony when pain becomes wisdom. Do you know why churches don't have testimony services anymore? Most of them don't. Pastors have learned, don't do that. It doesn't work out too well. Because when people stand up and start sharing their testimony, it's not their testimony, it's their story, and there's still all the pain. So with that pain, they start releasing all that hurt, and it brings the service down instead of taking the service. See, it's a testimony when all the pain's gone. Your testimony is the greatest platform you'll ever have to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Think about all the things the Apostle Paul could have shared that day. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had some stuff to preach, didn't he? But he didn't preach any of it. What did he do? He shared his testimony. Your testimony. It's the greatest platform you have to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now here's one more thing about your testimony. In your testimony is where you find your love for God and your love for people. Because if you have a testimony and you know what God brought you out of and you know what God brought you into, there's a love that you'll have for God. People that have a testimony, it's easy for them to worship. People that have a story, it's hard for them to worship.
Good.
Yeah. It's also where you find your love for people. Because let's just say you came out of if God brought you out of abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, marriage, parents, God brought you out of abuse. Who are the people you're going to love? People that have been
abused.
And you'll love them more than someone who hasn't walked through abuse, because you'll have compassion for them because you've been there.
Absolutely.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's where you find your love for people. It's where you find your love for God. But it's also where you find your hate. Hate has just as much to do with the kingdom as love does. Someone once said, what you hate the most is what God's called you to correct. See, the preacher that hates poverty preaches prosperity. The preacher that hates sin preaches holiness. The preacher that hates sickness and disease preaches healing. The preacher that hates doubt preaches faith. The preacher that hates ignorance preaches wisdom. What you hate is what God... What do you hate? Don't tell me your heart is to build the kingdom and you can't tell me what you hate. Because more than likely, if there's nothing you hate, then you're probably not doing nothing to build the kingdom. One of the greatest healing ministries the world's ever known was John G. Lake. That man had a white-hot hatred for sickness and disease like maybe no other person that's ever lived. Why? Because family member after family member after family member after family member died of tuberculosis. That man hated sickness and disease. And he spent the rest of his life asking a white call for a shove it anointing. Taking everything Satan had done and shoving it right back down his throat. What do you hate? What does this church hate? Who do you love? Where's your love? That's your testimony. You find all that in your testimony. Put your books up. I'll tell you one more story, and we're fixing to lay the foundation of vision. New River Family Fellowship. Pastor Charlie, new church. I was just there a couple of months ago, Pierce City, Missouri. They're meeting in a little, this isn't the story, this is just for free. They're meeting in a little clubhouse, a little rec room right there in this little small town. One day, knock on the door, doop, doop, doop. Older couple walk in. Hey, Pastor Charlie, hey, just wanted to sit down with y'all for a moment. We've been hearing about what y'all are doing there. And, man, out of all, there's not too many churches left in this community, but you guys are here, and it's pretty evident that God's moving in y'all's church. And you know, we're on the board of the little denominational church. Everybody knew what it was. It was the biggest structure there in Pierce City. And listen, we've decided we're just going to give y'all the building. We're down. We've only got about 3 or 4 couples. And we just decided to find someone who's doing something for God in the city and just give it to them. And so when I every time I step into that church, it's bittersweet. Because on one hand, I'm happy for New River Family Fellowship, but on the other hand, it's bitter because they were never supposed to be in that church.
Yeah.
So what happened? They didn't stay in vision.
Yes.
They arrived. Comfort zone. Rear view mirror.
I sure wish it could be like it was in the old days.
Do you know how many churches I preach in where there's stuff hanging on walls and nobody can take it down? Because Sister So-and-so made that. And if you take that down, that whole family will leave. You know how many Hammond B3 organs, how many organs are up on stages that nobody has played in decades, but nobody will move them because people would leave the church? Do you know I time travel every weekend? I walk in churches, I'm in the 60s. I walk in churches, I'm in the 70s. I walk in churches, I'm in the 80s. I know them too. I know all the decades. Here come, oh, I'm in the 90s. Very few churches do I walk into, and it's 2018. I'm doing a preemptive strike this morning, prophetically. Getting you guys ready for y'all's greatest season yet.
Hallelujah.
But y'all have got to determine in your heart that no matter the blessings that come, you'll always stay in vision.
Yes.
And you'll let this couple be visionaries and stay visionaries. And you'll never have the attitude that we've arrived. and you'll never slide into your comfort zone. And y'all's number is always more. More harvest, more lost, more healing, more signs and wonders, more. One service, two services, three services, four services, more. It's not about being in competition with Lakewood. Come on, it's about more. Come on, more. That's where vision takes you, is to more. Stand to your feet. Can you come play this guitar? Can somebody move this? We're going to pray together. I want everybody to come down. Come on down. Gather a circle. We're going to pray. We're going to join hands here in just a moment and pray. We're doing good. It's not even 11:30. Stand wherever you want to stand. Don't join hands yet. But get in a circle. Now, in the spirit, what we're going to do is we're going to lay that word vision in the foundation of the church. Do y'all see it? It's vision / front windshield / more / visionary / next.
Hallelujah.
There's no comfort zone here. And one day when they're in the 70s, 71, 72, 73, 75, 70s, somewhere in there, and it's time, they'll retire from pastoring, but they'll never retire from ministry.
Amen. That's right.
But when that day comes, they'll transition the church from a place of strength, not from a place of weakness.
That's right.
And you won't be finding some hot vision church in Alvin to just give the facility to.
That's
because
right.
Y'all whittled down to nothing.
That's right.
And this church will go beyond one generation.
That's right. Amen.
It'll be a multi-generational church. Amen. And every pastor will transition.
I like that.
Come on. Out of a place of strength. And every generation, y'all's ceiling will be their floor. And then their ceiling will be the next generation's floor. And in 100 years from now, come on, there's a believer's fellowship.
Yes.
Is that what y'all want?
Yes.
That's got to be set in the foundation.
Yeah.
Or in 20 years from now, there's going to be four couples, all in their 70s. And get talking about how it used to be. Living memories instead of vision. Have you figured out what I hate? You sensing some passion in me? I live in this world, and it breaks my heart. I'm happy for the young, new churches that come along, but it breaks my heart to see the older churches dissolve. Shouldn't be that way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray here in just a moment, but I want to ask a few questions. No one's looking around, just every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Philip, I've been waiting to be happy, and I see that now. I've been waiting to be happy. I've been allowing circumstances and storms and when this happened and when that happened. I've been waiting to be happy. And I see how that's not what God wants for me. And I'm not going to do that anymore. If that's you, just lift your hand right where you are. Who did that speak to? Yeah. I see those hands. Put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass anybody.
How many of you would be honest and say, a lot of people have been wounded. And your testimony is when the wound becomes a scar. And scars are so important because you can show them to people and you can say, see, if I went through this, you can too. But some of you, you haven't allowed wounds of the past to become scars. You've been living with those wounds for years and they still hurt. And every time you talk about those wounds, the pain and the emotions are still there. You've turned your wounds into pets. And you use them as a crutch not to be who God's called you to be and do what God's called you to do. And the Lord's speaking to you right now and saying, enough's enough. Let me heal that wound so that you can bring healing to people that have gone through what you've gone through. If that's you, if that spoke directly to your heart, no one looking around, just lift your hands right where you are. Who'd say, that applies to me? Hands everywhere. Proud of you. All right. Every head up, every eye open. Lift your hands. I'm going to go ahead and lift your hands. How many of you, y'all are saying yes by faith? At the end of your life, you want to gather your children, your grandchildren, the next generation, and you want to eyeball them with everything in you, and you want to say, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. No regrets, no guilt, no woulda, shoulda, couldas, no anger, no unforgiveness, no bitterness. You're going to look at the next generation, your kids and your grandkids and their children, and you're going to say, look at me, youngins. I wasn't disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And if I can do it, you can do it. And I'm not dying with any regrets, no woulda, shoulda, couldas, right. No guilt. I wasn't perfect. No one's going to be perfect. But I tell you what, I lived my life through the front windshield with everything in me trying to do what God's called me to do, be who God's called me to be. I wasn't disobedient to the heaven. Is that what you want? Join hands now. Let's pray. Father. Yeah, get her in. She don't have to play that guitar. The church police won't come arrest us if the guitar isn't being played. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you're here. Your grace and glory is here. Father, the Holy Spirit is moving in this place and moving in our hearts. Father, your angels are here. Father, I believe there's angels behind every one of us right now. Father, this is a prophetic moment. Father, we're under an open heaven. Father, we thank you. We're standing on holy ground. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody say, Father, I love you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. All my sins, all my regrets, all my guilt, all my hurts, wounds washed away in the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. And I boldly confess. You're Lord of my life. I'm going to be who you've called me to be. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. At the end of my life, I will declare I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I lived a happy life.
I have a testimony.
All my wounds
are scars.
My scars are trophies.
I show people.
And I say, if I can be healed.
If I can come through it.
You can come through it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Now come on, stretch your hands out towards that. Come on. Blah, 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 blah. Now, Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus, Father, we declare visions in the DNA of believers, vision in the foundation, vision in the culture, vision in the preaching, vision. Everything this church does and will ever do will come from a place of vision. We declare
that until Jesus comes back, this church will be operating out of the front windshield. Father, the number this church is looking for is more. More souls, more miracles, more people, more lost, more harvest, more healing, more marriages, more children, more youth, more glory, more revival, more awakening, more land, more buildings, more finances into missions all over the world. More until Jesus comes back. More. We'll never settle. We'll never arrive. We'll never sit down. We'll never ease into our comfort zone. More. More. We'll transition to the next generation from a place of strength, not weakness.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
More.
Thank you, Jesus.
More. More.
Hallelujah.
More.
Hallelujah.
And Father, I declare that pastors, come on, Lord, help me here. We declare they are visionaries. Come on, somebody come help me pray this over. Come on. Lay hands on. Supernatural recovery from the flight, the trip. Visionaries. More revelation. More favor. More blessings. More nations. More divine opportunities. More doors that are open. More strategy. More. We declare they're visionaries in Jesus' name. Father, there's no rear view mirror in that car. Father, more in Jesus' name. And Father, you're going to surround them with people who help them go forward, not try to hold them back. Father, surround them with people that have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Ghost instead of people that have been eaten up with religion. Father, we declare more. We declare they're visionaries. Ooh, in Jesus' name. More. Always the next. Father, I thank you every season they're in for the rest of their life, you'll always be talking to them about the next season. Every year they're in, you're always talking to them about the next year. Every project they're in, you're always talking to them about the next project. Father, every assignment, you're always talking to them about the next assignment. And Father, in the process of it all, there's no other pastors in this region that will be happier than them.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Happier than them. Father, I'm the happiest evangelist these people know. And Father, Scott, they're the happiest pastors we know. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. How much of that do you want to receive for yourself? How much of that do you want to receive for yourself? Do you can you call yourselves a vision? Laura and I, we're visionaries. Come on, can you do that? Can you put your name? Laura and I, we're visionaries. Can you do that? Go ahead. Laura and I, we're visionaries. Philip Baker Ministries. We don't have a rear view mirror in our car. More. My number's more. More nations, more churches, more missions, more miracles, more favor, more. We're visionaries. This is a church of visionaries. Founded on vision, not memories. Founded. Visionaries. Colton, you're a visionary. Visionaries. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in this church today. This church will never be the same. And Father, where there's vision, there's always provision. So Father, we thank you for a new season, a greater season's been birthed today. A greater season of vision and a greater season of provision.
Amen.
And Father, I know that many of the things that were preached this morning, Father, It's just confirmation for some things that you shared with them in Israel. Ooh, thank you, Father. Y'all's greatest seasons are ahead.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, find three people and say, you are a visionary. Come on.
You're a visionary.
Praise the Lord.
You're a visionary.
Why don't you grab your seats real quick? I believe we need to receive this morning's offering. Is that right, gentlemen? We're going to do that at this time. Go find your seats. Thank you. I did not expect to be here. Carrie and I, for those of you that don't know, we just got back from 2 weeks in Israel. And when we left, we were supposed to go one, certain airline. And the itinerary showed us getting in about 2 in the morning this morning. So we did not. That's why I had Philip lined up to come speak. But God did some miracles. There were some storms that hit Houston that Sunday night. 2 weeks ago, we preached here on Sunday the 21st, whatever it was, 20th. May 20th, and that night, that evening, we hadn't had rain in forever. Well, we're driving out to Intercontinental Airport. We stayed the night there because our flight was leaving early the next morning. Well, by that night, I just happened to be checking my email and said, "Oh, honey, you notice here this Air Canada flight got canceled?" She's, "What?" So we get on the phone about 9:30 at night with our travel agent. Long story short, she works us out. By midnight, I think we had the details worked out. Well, about 2 in the morning, we had details worked out to leave early. When did we leave? Monday. Afternoon. It's been a long 2 weeks, sorry. And so by Monday afternoon, we're on a Lufthansa flight going straight through. Praise the Lord. So it worked us out. It was a great airline and had a great experience. And God, we really felt your prayers. Are we done with the offering, Lee? I'm sorry, I've been talking the whole time. Okay. I just want to say thank you for you guys being here. We felt your prayers. We had the prayers going up. We felt peace. We had the peace of God the whole trip. We had the protection of God. How many of you know when you go to the Middle East, that's real important, that protection? At one point, we were up near the Syrian-Lebanon borders at the northern part of Israel. Now, you heard in the news, because I got a text from my brother-in-law. He texted Terry and said, "Hey, are you guys okay? We're hearing about rockets being fired out of Gaza." That was way over on the Mediterranean coast. If you look on the map where where Gaza Strip is, that's way over on the western coast, right along the Mediterranean. We were north of there. That was the closest we ever got to that Gaza area where you heard all that stuff in the news going on. And they did. They fired like 100 rockets or so, I think, at one point. One hit a school or something in the southern part of Israel. We never got close to that. So we were safe, praise the Lord. And our bus driver, he was a former Six-Day War veteran, older guy named Moshe. And he took us up to the north side of Israel, took us up right near the Syrian border. And, later in the week, he said, "Now, did you ever feel not safe? Did you ever feel danger?" We're like, no. We knew you were looking out for us. Good guy. Took real good care of us, but always took us places where we'd be safe. But praise the Lord, we had God's peace. We had his protection. We had his provision. There were so many prayers answered, just in small ways, things that we needed. We left a transformer in one location. We moved around a lot of hotels and had the Lord provide us another transformer so Terry could curl her hair. How many of you know, ladies, that's real important when you're on international travel? So God took care of that for us, even though we forgot our transformer in one place. But, I just want to say thank you. There's a whole lot more to share. We're not going to take time today. We'll have, in the coming weeks, we'll have show and tell and, our vacation slideshows. You can bring your popcorn that morning so you don't fall asleep, whatever. But we'll have a whole lot to share. More than anything, I just felt like we planted our feet in a place where God wanted us.
Amen.
We were, as Philip preached this morning, we were obedient to the heavenly vision. God called us to go there. We don't have a clue why in many ways, but there's a reason for everything. And so we were there, and we're back here now. And I'm sure in the days ahead, there's things that will be unpacked in our spirit, and we'll know, that's why God wanted us to do this, because we understand this better and know this better. And it's a fabulous experience. I hope in the years to come we can take some trips from the church, maybe take some of you guys with us in the future and do this again. So you can see the land of the Bible. It is a fabulous, fabulous experience. But anyways, as I've said, in weeks to come, we'll unpack that for you. So why don't you stand? Again, thank you for praying for us. We're back. Praise the Lord. In one piece. And, you know, things just went so smooth. Going through customs yesterday, the guy just kind of looked at my disclaimer. I had to put one, but there, you know, every box, it was like, did you bring any animals? Did you bring any plants? Did you bring any diseases with you? You know, no, no, no. There was one question that said, did you touch any livestock? Well, I thought, well, you know, we rode camels one day, so I guess I got to put yes there. So check that box underneath, I wrote, rode camel. And so this big, daunting, you know, officer at the customs booth, he's like, oh, you rode a camel, huh? You know, honest John here, he's like, get out of here. You're not any danger to this country. So everything went smooth. We got our bags, all our suitcases arrived. Praise the Lord. Praise, you know, when you travel like that, when those things happen, it's a big sigh of relief. So praise the Lord, we're back. Thank you again for your prayers. Father, I bless this congregation today. I thank you that each of us in our day will experience what was discussed this morning, Lord, that we will have vision for future. We will step into more and more of you, Lord. We declare that over our lives. More. How much more, Lord, you're bringing us into. And the heavenly vision, Jesus, that you're planting in our hearts, we will be obedient to you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for sealing this word in us. I thank you, Lord, that it will bear fruit in the days ahead, up to 100-fold in the name of Jesus in our lives, individually, in our families, and in our community, Lord, as we follow you in Jesus' name. Amen.